Hola, friends. It's hard to shout Latinos out loud when we should all be shouting for the Black community right now. We pre-recorded the season finale before the unfortunate death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, but we couldn't just leave this alone without saying we are enraged, saddened, and angered. We stand by and support the Black community forever, and especially during these terrifying times. Todos somos familia. We are all family. We decided to use our platform to not only showcase our support, but to also communicate the organizations working to uplift the people in need right now. Here's how you can help. Please donate to organizations such as the Minnesota Freedom Fund, Reclaim the Block, Unicorn Riot, the Black Visions Collective, or the Veiled Project. We can all make a difference, and every little bit helps. Please be safe out there. We love you. God bless.
All right, guys. Considering that Memorial Day just passed by and we couldn't celebrate like we usually celebrate, what did you guys do for Memorial Day this current year? Rachel.
Whoa. Well, we barbecued, actually, in my little backyard here on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. Had some Ooh. Hot dogs. And I also kept it traditional by arguing with one of the members of my family. Good old Memorial Day.
Nice.
How about you, Jamie?
I had a karaoke battle on Instagram Live with shout out to Danny Garcia, who I went against. So hopefully things start getting normal again so I can do actual normal and not insane summer activities. Bible.
I'm switching it up. I'm trying to maintain being in shape. So I do long walks. And then I play a game of I'm judging you because you're not wearing a mask. So that's my thing there. So I try to give people nasty looks if they're not wearing masks. Frank. Mm-hmm.
Well, my super invited me to a barbecue in the alley with the George Floyd.
Not suspicious.
We had a few burgers, but there was like diapers on the floor and Gore-Tex full of you know what on the ground.
So
what the hell?
Yeah, but everything went. His kids were running around. We had to clean it up, but we had a good time. By the way, it was good. It was good. Melinda.
Melina.
Sorry.
No. Funny story. So sometimes for some reason in the past few years, you know, people always have a hard time with my name for some reason, even though it's really phonetic. And you know, doctor's offices or like, you know, a restaurant, they're like, Melanie, Melinda, Melissa, like, yo, where do you see these extra letters?
Damn, Simba, what are you doing for Memorial Day to keep it traditional?
No, I digress. So I like to play a game similar to what Juan Bago mentioned. I love a good game of I'm judging you.
So good.
I definitely did that, except I think I level up. I leveled up from you. I turn up the judgment one notch. Because you said that you just look at people sideways and do a little like judgy face. No, I have now become vocal about Ooh. My dismay. And you know what, to be honest, I consider it a public service announcement. Because I see that there is a pattern oftentimes of the kinds of people I see from certain demographics not wearing masks and not feeling affected and just feeling entitled. And so, yeah, it's a public safety announcement. So I've let some people know out the window of my car. But I also did some like fun, lighthearted things that were like joyful and caused laughter from the safety of my own home. So I love watching TV and film. And I am one of those people that can binge like for hours. Some people are like, oh, I get bored. I gotta get out of the home. Nope, I could really just do it all day. just get up for my snacks and for the restroom. But Sundays right now are like loaded with good stuff to watch. So yesterday, I watched the new Vida episode. I watched Insecure. I watched the new Issa Rae and Kumail Nanjiani movie, Lovebirds, which was hilarious. And a lot of places are doing, so I love getting delivery also. And a lot of places I've noticed now are delivering alcohol, like restaurants. Cause you know, we talked about, I get my alcohol delivery on the regs anyway, but it's kind of fun seeing restaurants now that are just kind of like, we don't care, screw it. You, can I curse, by the way?
Yeah, yeah, keep going. You're breaking the record for the longest answer for the opening question. Keep going.
Oh,
shatter
shit.
It. Just what shatter it while you're there.
You know,
you just, this is a record, so you might as well just shatter it.
I'm giving you color. I'm giving you nuance. I'm giving you...
You're everything, yes.
Okay, you're welcome.
You're making the opening question now its new podcast. We're going to be calling it Opening Question.
This is what happens when you have me go last. Bringing down the house. Anyway, so this restaurant include alcohol decided to just throw in bottles of wine, and I'm like, yes please, anybody gonna card me, anyone gonna do like a nope, not at all, that's fine with me. So I had my bottle, had my binge watching, had my judging. Okay.
Yes,
the three most important things for any for to enjoy any holiday.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly.
The Latinos Out Loud podcast.
Yo 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 yo. God, feels good. Hi.
What up?
Am I too loud?
Nah.
Levels.
The right amount.
Are you subleasing the place from Pio? Is that Pio's spot?
I'm in a crawl space. It fits my height perfectly. It's about 5 feet tall, so I just can't like jump or anything.
I could never sit there because I would forget that it was a crawl space, and once I stood up, my neck would break. You know what I mean? So, like,
you'd break in half, Jamie.
Yeah, I know. That would be a very dangerous place for me to sit.
It's like a piece of hard pasta breaking.
I would fit.
Oh, awesome. Girl, that's what I'm saying. That's why it's nice. The She Loft. Anyway, yes, I'm live from the She Loft. It's your girl, Rachel La Loca. This is the Latinos Out Loud podcast. I did that in reverse, but hey, it's the podcast, right? That's what we do. So, hi, who's next?
What's up? This is Juan Bago from the bunker for the Boogie Down Bronx.
All right.
This is Jay Ferns from my bedroom, on my bed, so I'm comfortable.
All right. This is Frank Nibs from the Heights.
And we have the pleasure of introducing the guest of honor. She's an actress and activist, and her name is Melina Bobadilla. I almost got my tongue.
Take two.
Okay. Melina, you want me to do, I'm not doing the whole thing.
Call her Melania.
Melina, not Melania. Don't say that, Jamie. Jesus, at the top.
I'm telling you not to. All right.
Melina Bobadilla.
Perfect. Perfect.
Thank you for landing. Air clapping.
Hey, girl.
Hey, boo.
What's going on, girl? How are you?
I'm good. I'm really happy to be talking to y'all. And from the first moment I discovered Latinos Out Loud and I first met Juan Bago in person, you all just really crawled into my heart.
Aww.
And, I feel like we've had this conversation a few times about, hey, I should be on the show. And then it's just, you know, schedules and life. But this is the moment. So
you want to go out there and be like a successful actress and shit and be flying everywhere and shooting and have like a busy schedule. And we're just like, maybe she'll remember us and come back.
No, you know what? Let me tell you. I actually reached out to Juan Bago multiple times and he shot me down. He's like, you know what? I don't know. I've been looking at your followers numbers or you're not trending. So I was like,
Melina, you need to maybe buy some followers, buy 10,000 followers. Because I have a connect and then get back to us.
Yeah.
But you have the unique, you can brag that you were our first and only pop-up guest for a corporate event. So that was very exciting because it literally was like, all right, everybody, let's go. Let's just do a pop-up podcast. And you were a great sport and you did it for us 2 years ago.
I love that. And I love that you call it a pop-up podcast. That's very creative, when really it was like, you didn't even record that. We were just doing an interview and doing some improv. And
yeah.
Like, charismatic and allowing people the pleasure of watching us.
I think there is footage somewhere there. If we piece it all together,
there's some grainy footage somewhere of it.
One of the NBC employees, I think in accounting, took some footage. So
security camera. There was a security camera footage, no audio. it looks like we had a lot of fun.
Weren't we on those huge tall chairs and our feet were dangling?
I think it was one of those. We're definitely dangling. I don't know if yours were. My feet always.
I'm sure.
Melina, where in the world are you right now?
Oh.
I am talking to you from Los Angeles, California. Woo-hoo. The east side of Los Angeles, because that keeps it real. Right. This is La Casa de la Revolución and Good Skincare. I would like to say.
A combo.
Where, a good combo. Yeah, very important.
This is para la gente and also to keep it moisturized. Mm. I'm just inspired because y'all said, you know, your she shed, your boogie down bunker. Mm. So
no, it's Cheryl she shed. This ain't a she shed. This is a she loft. It's Cheryl she shed.
Thank you, man. I can be the she loft.
But I love that commercial. Ain't nothing wrong with that Cheryl she shed. Somebody burned down Cheryl she shed.
Yeah, well, she got too many candles in there, but.
Mm, wait, so yeah. LA is shut down till when? Like, I think like July. What is it? Because it's like, you know what it is? It's like, if you're in a state, you have to listen to the governor, then your mayor. You got, right. So your county. So your LA county is when, through like July 3rd or something?
Well, they're keeping it nice and vague, which I appreciate. They're saying the goal is July 4th. If the numbers allow for that. And I don't really understand if they actually take that seriously, because the numbers are not getting better, and people are already acting a fool. So it doesn't seem to me like that's going to happen, but that's the goal. Allegedly, July 4th.
Allegedly.
LA must be tough, because LA, the weather's always nice. So it's you know, every day is just a difficult day to not want to go out and do outdoor activities. You know, New York, you know, we have our nice days, but then there's always a day where it's like, yo, I'm glad I gotta stay home and shit.
Mm. You know, I'm not a fan of heat. I don't like being hot unless, like, I'm on the beach somewhere in another country on an island. Because here it's just like you're sticky, but you're also in traffic. Mm. And like, so there's like smog sticking to the top layer of sweat on your skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's not popping. But, so, I mean,
love the deets.
Honestly, I just want to see my family. I want to be able to hug my parents. I want to see my sister. But I have to say that this whole experience has really made me, or rather it's brought to light what my priorities are. It's highlighted that. And in terms of like relationships, which relationships are priority and essential, which ones are sustaining and fulfilling. So, you know, you communicate with who you need to communicate.
Are people. You tired of Zooming with family?
You know, I don't Zoom with my family. I FaceTime, and my parents do that thing where they hold it right between the chin and the neck, you know? I've tried to coach them. Right. I'm like, okay, I start moving it up a little bit. So now we get some nostril.
You know, my family's more forehead, so they're more of the forehead tribe.
Okay. My dad is the nose guy, and I'm not saying that because he's Jewish. I'm just saying that usually we get the nose hairs, and I'm like, oh my God, please. Why is it right in the nostril?
Yeah.
I got my parents the, I'm not advertising anything, but the Facebook has their own camera called the Portal. And
yes.
So it helps, because I can see them. I can see them perfectly, and they don't have to move it in any weird way.
It follows them, right?
It follows you, right? But then my parents took that like too literally. Like, they went to the bathroom and was like, what, you see me still? And I'm following, can you see me? And I'm like, no, it doesn't follow you everywhere. Just, you have to be in the field of vision of the camera. So that was like 2 days of fixing that.
They I'm at the supermarket. Like
the camera follow me? Did the camera follow me to the supermarket? Because I got to do some compra.
All right, guys. Let's go to a little commercial break, huh? You were mentioning prior that in our super extended opening question that you're binging. So as a artist, are you binging to do homework, to work the craft, or are you being able to now finally with a lot of time binging just so you can binge?
A little bit of both. There's some shows that I watch that I'll start watching because everyone's talking about it or everyone's, you know, tweeting about it, or I read an article on Deadline and it's getting some good reviews. And there's been shows where I watch because of those reasons, and I'm like, I don't know what y'all are thinking, but I'm done after episode two. And then, you know, there's some of those shows that are great. And then there's shows that I watch just because they bring me joy and satisfaction. It's interesting. You ask if I watch, like, for the craft. Mm-hmm. There's some, I guess, in a way, but it's not necessarily because I think I'm, like, learning. I'm observing, mm-hmm. like, there's certain performances that I'm like, okay, that is a masterclass. I can see the difference. I can literally feel the difference of like, you know, a certain person being super present and really entregándose. And then other people where I'm like, okay, you memorize your lines and like, this is embarrassing. I don't know who hired you. I don't know whose granddaughter you are. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I like to watch stuff.
Melina, have you ever been watch one of your shows?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah, so I usually will watch stuff that I have been in. First, I like to watch it by myself. Just so I like hugging a pillow, you know, just because I'm like, I think I'm my own harshest critic, and I remember these moments, and I'm like, oh, I should have gone with this, you know, interpretation, or like, why did they light me that way? Why are they not, you know, why they didn't hook a sister up and make her look a little bit cuter? Wow. So I watch it awkwardly, and then I watch it with my boyfriend. And then I will show my parents. My sister, actually, since she lives in Sacramento, she'll watch it. She'll give me her notes. Mm. But, you know, she's not affected. Like, she's like, oh, yeah. I mean, I cried a little bit, but not that much because, like, I've seen you cry like that. Or I've seen when your mocos were hanging down like that. Or I've seen you yell like that, you mm-hmm. know? So she's...
I have to tell you, the last season of Orange is New Black was a very emotional tearjerker, and including you did an amazing job.
Yeah.
How was that experience for you in that show? Because that season was crazy, and especially your character too, especially the time that it was happening. It was almost like they timed it with the topics that they were covering.
It was an honor. It was so intense, and it was... I felt like it was almost a responsibility, like a sacred responsibility, because I played a character named Santos Chash, and she is from Guatemala. She is an indigenous woman who spoke Maya Quiche and did not speak English or Spanish. And in her migration journey, she actually suffers sexual trauma. She's raped, and when we meet her, she's in Litchfield, and the private prison corporation that owns the prison that houses all of the other inmates that you've gotten to know in the past, you know, six seasons, has now decided they want to make more money off of incarcerating humans and violating their humanity. And so they open up, they do an immigration prison pop-up, and they now... You also find out like which characters that you've gotten to know are actually undocumented, like Blanca, Laura Gomez's character, and Maritza, Diane Guerrero's character. And actually, you meet me the day that Diane Guerrero's character is deported, because I take her bed, and Laura Gomez turns over and she's like, Maritza, Maritza, and she sees our long brown hair. But then I turn over and I'm like responding to her in Maya Quiche, so it's a It was really intense. It was emotional. I wanted to make sure that I was doing right by, you know, people that I see as like part of my community, my extended family, and also specifically the fact that I was portraying an indigenous woman from Guatemala, I also took as like a solemn responsibility, because there are so many migrants that are coming from Central America and Mexico, and they're, when we hear conversations about them and they're referred to in the media, or, you know, even worse by this administration, it's often with so much anonymity and dehumanization. But there's so many that are indigenous, and they are, you know, the original inhabitants of this land. So it's like, it was so layered. And then separately, I was a fan of the show. So walking around that set was like surreal. And I just had to keep telling myself, no, you are here to do your job, you be professional. But part of me, the little girl inside, was just, you know, I wanted to talk to my favorite actors.
Yeah, on the Orange is the New Black tip, I was always curious, especially about women like you who appreciate, you know, vanity and taking care of your skin. What was it like not being so made up in this role? Did you have to adapt to that, or were you cool from it from Jump Street?
You know, in a weird way, it was liberating, because I was dealing with a topic that was so real and so raw and unfortunately so timely. And I wanted the focus to be on that. So not having to worry about makeup or bags under my eyes or the hair, like I actually was liberating in a way. If I had any insecurities about it, it was after when I watched it, or like, you know, when I got the part and kind of thinking about it. But once I was there and I was just focused on the character, and also, mind you, I was acting in a language that I don't speak. I was speaking Maya Quiche, and it's, you know, it's an indigenous language spoken in Guatemala. So I was like, I was focusing on the emotions and also like, okay, let me do this right. Like, how often do we see this portrayed? But there was something kind of nice about being able to literally roll out of bed and show up on set at 6 a.m. and look a mess and just be like, you know what? Who cares? And sometimes they actually fuck me up even more. They're like, no, let's give you a little more bags under your eyes.
Oh my God.
Wow. Hair doesn't look greasy enough. So, cause I was like, oh, I washed it like 2 days ago. And then I, you know, the pillow crease or whatever. They're like, no, we need some grasa. So let's put some glycerin and some water on there.
Oh, yo, I gotta ask you too. Did you do like Maya Quiche Rosetta Stone? How did you, or like Maya Quiche for idiots? What did you do? How did you learn that?
Well, they actually worked with a translator. And so the translator would send me the lines, and I would learn them phonetically, and then they would also record themselves saying them so that I could get the pronunciation perfectly. So I would listen to the lines on my headphones, and I would, you know, when I first started recording, I was staying with my girl up in the Bronx, and I was riding from the Bronx down to Queens to Kaufman Astoria Studios, which is where they shoot. So that's like a good hour and a half, right? And I was just like, let me sit over here on the corner and just talk to myself. And so people were fine with that, because you all see that all the time. But yeah. Actually, so years ago, I worked with a theater company, a Chicano theater company called El Teatro Campesino. And they did a series of plays about the Mayan creation story called the Popol Vuh. So we had to learn a little bit of Maya Quiche for some of the songs and a few lines here and there. But like, this was now, what I was doing for Orange was like the Maya Quiche like Olympics, because my brain hurt after that.
Yeah, that's so amazing. That is amazing, girl. Yeah.
But I'm glad that they wrote that in. Like, that was such an important narrative to include. You know, it was like, yes, she's an undocumented immigrant, and this is indigenous representation. But also, you know, she's a sexual violence survivor. And, you know, let's throw in this other twist of like, she actually is pregnant and she doesn't want to be. So there was this storyline also of reproductive justice and how migrant women and also incarcerated women have to deal with that when they're, the fate of their own bodies is outside of their hands. So it was intense.
So let's talk about For Rosa, the short film. Tell us about that. You play lead character. We want to hear. Give us some color.
Yes. Okay. Give you some rose color. So my friends, that is another intense role. and also there's kind of a bridge here with reproductive justice. So essentially For Rosa is a short film that focuses on the story of the Madrigal 10, the Madrigal versus Quilligan case, which happened in 1974-75 here in Los Angeles. And it deals with the stories of Mexican-American and Latina women living in Los Angeles who went to deliver a child at Los Angeles County General Hospital and left being forcibly sterilized. So they were sterilized against their will, and many of them didn't know that they were sterilized until the attorney who, Antonio Hernandez, who's a real life Chicana who handled the case as a 26-year-old new attorney, young attorney, until she showed up at their door and told them that she was heading up this class action lawsuit and invited them to be part of the case. So our story is a snapshot in the life of one of those women. So I play the lead and her name is Eva. And my character is a kind of a composite of multiple stories of some of the women that were part of this lawsuit. And it starts with where all of their stories started, with her being at the hospital and having a really intense, complicated labor, and the doctors, the racist, irresponsible doctors taking advantage of that moment, the trauma of that moment. And then we get a little bit of her life with her family, with the one son she was able to have and her husband. And then you see the moment where she learns about what happened to her body against her will. Oh. And it's amazing because I got to act alongside other actors who I love and admire, who are not only talented, but just they're great human beings. And they were also really passionate about telling a story like this and bringing it to light. So Rick Mancilla plays my husband, and he was one of the heartthrobs of East Los High. Mm. And Juan Bagua says, that was, I mean, yeah.
Was he your heartthrob too?
That's another podcast episode there.
That's the homie, though. Oh, man. But he was wonderful to act alongside with. And also Idalia Reyes, who people know from Queen of the South, who's so talented and so amazing. And she actually plays the attorney. And we meet when she knocks on my door and tells me that I have been sterilized. So, and then Chuy Martinez jumped on as our executive producer.
All right.
And it really hits home for him. And he actually has talked about remembering his mom and his tias talk about this case. And it's just crazy to me that, like, this is not something that people know about. This is not a history that is taught. And this is American history. This is women's history. This is reproductive justice history. This is Latinx history that happened here in Los Angeles. So we're hoping to generate more conversation around that, to open up the dialogue around, the conversation around what does reproductive justice look like for all women across all demographics and socioeconomic levels and race and ethnicity. Because I know this also happened to Puerto Rican women and to Black women South. So
Yeah. Well, it's always great to work on a project with friends and people that you love to work with, but then to have a topic like that when people watch it, they can, learn and understand how things were there. So,
right.
But thank you so much for being the guest. Finally.
Yes.
A guest. Finally. All right. Now it's time for the que lo que. Okay.
you guys, it is now time for the Que Lo Que segment. So to our lovely guest, Melina Bobadilla, Que Lo Que Loca.
Que Lo Que Loca.
Tell everybody where they can find you, your socials, the projects you want to promo. Let everybody know, girl. Tell us.
Yes. So you can follow me on Instagram as Melina Bobadilla. You can follow me on Twitter, where I drop some of the realness, political opinions.
Oh, juicy.
Also, Melina Bobadilla, I think. And then you can please follow the film at For Rosa Film on Instagram. And our writer-director, Catherine Boyd-Batstone, is constantly updating and showing some behind the scenes of this gorgeous footage. And please stay tuned for updates, because we are in talks for online distribution, but we also are in talks to do an online screening premiere event, you know, because the Rona kind of put a little damper on our screening plan. So follow me at Melina Bobadilla and follow For Rosa Film.
Thank you so much, Melina.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And on that note, we out!